I would like at the outset to congratulate the Schiller Institute and its director, Helga, and also you, Lyndon, for all the efforts you have been trying to make the world better for humanity. I wish us all success in this important conference and hope that the outcome would be beneficial for us all. The theme of our conference is very appropriate and comes at a moment when humanity is not only facing its worst economic crisis since the Depression of 1928, but also the worst refugee crisis since the Second World War due to the aggressive policies of the USA in the last decade that have essentially destroyed Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and Syria. The EU is continuing to gradually collapse as it destroys its member states, forcing some to leave, while its democratic deficit is increasing and far-right parties are becoming more powerful. The world economy cannot get out of a vicious circle that it has been in since the outset of the crisis in 2008. We are witnessing global demonstrations against austerity measures that enhance poverty instead of growth and against greedy financial systems that lead to extreme social inequality. The demonstrations in France are a good example. Until now, nobody has been listening to the people. I think that it's due time that decisions be taken on priorities that are beneficial to the interest of the human beings. We should no longer ask the question of what markets are saying, but what our people are saying. And this is the basic problem that we're facing today. The European Union not only has become an incompetent organization, but is also in disarray, as we can also see from the outcome of the UK referendum of Thursday. The British people decided to leave a failed institution. And they have opened the precedent for other countries to do the same. Just now, before I took the floor, I saw a news expert that in Slovakia they are gathering signatures to ask for a referendum to leave the European Union. So the situation, of course, they are speaking about the collapse of the financial systems because of the decision of the United Kingdom, and it's not so serious because with the reduction of the pound sterling, the United Kingdom can all of a sudden increase its exports abroad. And also the final agreement that will come out after negotiating its status, after it leaves according to Article 50 of the Lisbon Agreement, it will basically be what Switzerland has today with the European Union. It will allow the free movement of people. It will allow all these things. So nothing is going to change in the everyday life, but what is going to change is the political decisions that will be taken within the European Union, where the United Kingdom will not participate. Already today, this morning, we had a meeting of the Ministers of Foreign Affairs of the six member states of the EU that created basically the EU. And they came out saying that these negotiations should start immediately for the exit of the United Kingdom. Now, one more reason that perhaps the people of the United Kingdom voted to leave is also the situation in Greece, where it is deteriorating. After the legislation adopted by Parliament on May 22, Greece has ceased to exist as a state, having given the economic management of the country to the lenders and to the EU for the next 100 years. I think it is the first time in history that a country has dissolved itself. Parliament will no longer have any role to play in this area. In May 2010, to go a little bit back, the Greek government was forced to sign the loan agreement so that it could, through austerity measures, reduce the public debt, which in 2009 was 129% of the GNP, or 299 billion euros in absolute numbers. After three memoranda and mistaken policies of the European Union, the IMF, and the Greek governments, not only the public debt was not reduced, but it has increased to 180% of the GNP. The Syriza government that was elected on an anti-austerity program betrayed the Greek people by doing exactly the opposite. It did not even take into account a referendum of last July, which 62% of the people voted against austerity measures. In spite of the fact that they themselves acknowledged their mistakes, the EU, the European Central Bank, and the IMF continue to insist on the implementation of the same ineffective policies that are destroying a member state of the EU and its people. Unemployment is up to 25% from 9% that it was in 2010. Greeks are looking into garbage bins for food. It's a very common sight. Overtaxation has paralyzed the economy. The health system has collapsed, while more than 5,000 people have committed suicide. And I would like here at this instance to quote Lyndon LaRouche in a statement that he made last February on the Greek debt, which was very positively heard in Greece. The Greek debt, he said, as such, is mostly not Greek debt. The debt which Germany and other nations are demanding that they pay for is money that the Greeks never got. So the Greeks don't owe that money. This was a swindle because the Greeks did not incur that debt. And would like to thank you for that statement that you made, Mr. Lemus, last year. So other consequences of Greece being a member of the European Union is the fact that indirect and direct taxation leaves no room for economic development. 2 million people cannot pay taxes today, including myself, as the taxation system is worse than it was under the Ottoman occupation. Pensions have been slashed by 55% since 2010. Salaries have been reduced by 40%. 18 regional airports have been sold to the German Fraport, which is state-owned, within the framework of privatization. So we privatize our airports by selling it to a German state company. What kind of privatization is that? I don't know. The austerity program has resulted in serious human rights violations of the Greek people, as is mentioned in the report dated February 29 of 2016 of the United Nations independent expert Juan Pablo Bohoslavski to the United Nations Council of Human Rights. Homes of people who cannot continue paying mortgages because of slashed incomes due to reductions of salaries and pensions and increased taxation are being auctioned. And this is where we're going to have the first reaction. the moment that the auction, that the authorities reach the auction houses to throw the people out, they will be met by violence. They will be met by firearms, by weapons. And this is allowed by our Constitution. Article 120, paragraph 4, allows the people of Greece to use any kind of measure in order to protect the dispositions of the Greek Constitution. 56,000 refugees are stranded in Greece because the EU refuses to implement the European Council decision of last July, by which 60,000 refugees would be transferred from Greece and Italy to other member states for resettlement. So the Brits, of course, saw what happens to a country that is in the EU, in spite of the fact that Cameron was telling them that this will happen if they leave. We told them that this is happening if you stay. So they opted for out, and I think that it was a good decision that they took. Now, the U.S.-provoked war in Syria, with the participation of some EU states, has created the biggest refugee crisis since World War II. Almost 5 million refugees have left Syria to ask asylum, mainly in the EU. The EU, once the champion of humanitarian assistance, was incapable of managing the refugee flow. Greece, a country that had no participation in the Syrian war, was inundated with an increased number of refugees, while many of its Central European members refused to accept them. And these were countries like Hungary and Czech Republic that they themselves were once refugees, when they were invaded by the Soviet Union, and I cannot imagine how they have forgotten that. Though the movements into Greece were gradually reduced after the shaky EU-Turkey agreement of March, the EU still has to live up to its previous decisions. Another threat, and also I would like to state the fact that the United States, who has created basically the war in Syria, has accepted only 4,000 refugees, and that I find a shame. Another threat facing humanity is the U.S. animosity towards Russia, as if we were still in the Cold War period. This was discussed in the previous panel, but very roughly I will just say about it. A missile system is being set up to encircle Russia, and of course Moscow is preparing a defense shield to counter it. The EU embargo on Russia after the Ukrainian crisis is not at all helping the situation. Also, threats have been recently made by Obama against China and the need to restrict her economic power. With a collapsing EU and a USA looking for confrontation with Russia and China, a solution for humanity can be the BRICS initiative, which is the initiative of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa to pursue a policy of economic development for the benefit of humanity. They have created their own development bank to invest in necessary development projects. China has established the Asian Infrastructure Bank, joined by over 20 Asian nations as founding members, and has set up a Silk Road Development Fund. Within BRICS, China has proposed the creation of a free trade area of Asia and Pacific. The Chinese proposal was quickly rejected by Obama, who created his own free trade organization. The incorporation of the Shanghai Cooperation Agreement to the BRICS could create a formidable power, which, if remaining out of the control of the bankers, could be decisive so that humanity reaches global peace and end poverty through economic development. From what was previously mentioned, we can see that there is a crisis of civilization that is impeding humanity's progress. I totally agree with the Schiller Institute viewpoint that we need a renaissance of the classical culture, as we see measures being taken to prevent it from happening. The Greek regime is doing everything possible to make classical culture disappear. We're doing away with ancient Greek in schools and with the teaching of the ancient Greek philosophers. It seems to be following steps taken in the USA and in other EU countries. It seems that classical culture that also encompasses humanism, philosophy and sciences, the sciences and art, creates fear to the ruling classes who do not want to see the people thinking again. We should resist any such tendencies. As for the dialogue of cultures, yes, by all means, this should take place, and perhaps we could get on board of the UN dialogue of civilizations and make it even better. Both dialogues are useful efforts to enhance our efforts for a permanent global peace. Now, in conclusion, and after having been critical of the EU and the US, allow me to make some proposals, solutions that I think would be beneficial for humanity. For Greece, it is imperative to denounce the loan facility agreement of May 2010 on the basis of Articles 8 to 52 of the Vienna Convention, of the basis of Articles 48 to 52 of the Vienna Convention concerning the law of treaties. These articles anticipate the invalidity of a treaty if there was error, fraud, coercion of a representative of a state, etc., and all these cases apply to Greece. The cessation of payments with the denunciation of the loan agreement and the nationalization of the Bank of Greece will give funds to the Greek government that will do it, would allow Greece to repair the damages done and instigate true development. Adoption of a national currency will follow. My political party, EPAM, not yet in parliament, supports such a policy. For the EU, the existing EU must be dissolved. The transformation of the EU into an efficient organization having a sole priority to safeguard the interest of its people. A new charter is necessary, drafted not by the bureaucrats of Brussels, but by movements of citizens of member states who will submit their proposals to a European Assembly composed of representatives of these movements. The US must stop its policy of nation destroying, and Obama must return to the Nobel Committee the Peace Prize that was awarded to him. Since he did nothing to deserve it. The same applies, of course, to the European Union, who also received a Peace Prize. And for the history, I would like to remind everybody that Theodore Roosevelt was also awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, but he refused to accept it until the end of his term. And that was a very honest thing to do. Now, the U.S. must adopt a more friendly policy towards Russia and the rest of the world for the benefit of humanity. One important proposal for humanity, which I have raised in official fora, but it has been attacked by the banks. The deletion of the global debt, which is now about $600 trillion, will allow humanity to restart on a new and healthy basis. In history, we have had examples of debt deletion. From the ancient Greek Sisachthia to the Jubilee of ancient Hebrew communities, where every 50 years all debts were cancelled. Even during the 70s, the developed countries of the West deleted the debt of the non-aligned movement, thus allowing the economic boom of Yugoslavia. The BRICS movement can promote this, while the decision must be taken by the G8. Humanity as a whole will benefit because it will able to restart on sound and healthy principles. And I finish by saying that in order to implement the previously mentioned proposals, it's necessary to have politicians with imagination, vision, and courage. Politicians who care about the progress of humanity and who can control the greed of multinational companies by restricting their power. Such politicians do not exist today. We have to create them. Thank you very much.